Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of The Beats. Original cast here. I'm, of course, Nick Baumgartner, along with Brendan Quinn, here in beautiful May, Cinco de Mayo. What a day. May is always, Brendan.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
May is a good time around my on my schedule because it's the end of a cycle. It's the end of football, and there's nothing on the horizon, really, except for something later that I don't have to worry about. And so May is always a nice time of year for me. How are you doing?
I was playing golf a week ago or so and was talking with one of the guys I was playing with, and he made the great take that spring is overrated.
So you hate it. Okay, great.
No, I mean, but like May starts to actually feel like, okay,
it's getting
legitimately warm. You look in the forecast, there's like 85 and like 90 on the horizon. You're like, hell yeah, let's go, because otherwise, like, March and April just suck. It's just a big tease. You don't actually get any good days. Everything's wet.
Yeah, it rains every day.
Gray.
Yeah. Muddy.
Yeah, and it's a nice day followed by four shitty days, and you're just like, can we just get this over with? Like, let's go.
Cold mud.
Yeah. Cold mud. Exactly. That's spring in Michigan. Yeah. But May feels like it's kind of the actual pivot.
The mud starts to warm up a little bit. Grass starts to grow.
It's sunny outside, I guess.
It's a little sunny.
But otherwise the world's on fire. So that's great. That's just great.
Yeah. Now, I don't think it ever went out, but
everything's on fire.
I think it's always been.
Everything's on fire. Both of my beats, my man, are in total disarray. Nobody knows what the hell's going on in college sports. NIL, transfer portal, everyone is losing
their mind.
I am not answering calls from coaches anymore unless I know it's important.
It's that bad,
everyone
huh?
is just complaining. It's just everyone's complaining about everything. No, the thing that gets said over it, you don't know how bad it is.
Well,
I'm like, yes, I do, because it's all anyone's talking about.
Well, that's
and then on golf. You've got two rogue leagues trying to destroy the PGA Tour. All these players are just like facing windfalls of cash
now,
to play less
that's
actual competitive golf.
Now that's interesting to me.
It's wild out there. That is wild.
That is a scene. See, you got the Masters Cup there today too. The nice coffee cup.
I do. So, you know.
In any event,
there's a flex for you. Big flex on the.
We are going to talk about the world burning, specifically, I think, the college sports world, because it really is the only thing. I guess at top of mind, because it is May, and it's for hoops, it's that awkward recruiting season that all these coaches have been just like so mad about for so many years, rightly so, and now they're dealing with all this stuff on top of it, and they're not happy, as Brendan is saying. Football is finding itself in similar yet more aggressive circles, I guess. I don't know what else to say on that front. I see a lot more like, I dare you to stop us in football, whereas in basketball, it's like, what are we doing? Like, you know, in basketball, they're all trying to find their footing in football. It's like, we've been ready for this for a long time. Let's go. Hunter Dickinson, of course, just talked about this week in a couple different interviews. Some other athletes have spoken out on their thoughts on the whole thing. Everybody has different perspectives. Everybody's coming from a different place. And as I look at it, you know, I got to tell you, you hate to see it for some of these guys, first of all. But second of all, it's like, you know, we've all been talking about this for years. It's like, there's a degree of feet dragging that was happening here that always catches up to people in the NCAA. But, you know, also, I'm not so sure if all the criticism all the time is warranted. So it's an interesting issue. I don't know where we want to start with this, but general thoughts to dive in here.
Well, first of all, like, I've been very kind of, what's the right word here? Perplexed, maybe that's the right word, at some people who are like, well, it's all over. Like, this is going to be the end of college sports and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
well, yeah, this,
what are you talking? Like, you are not serious, right? Like, there's all this money, there's all this interest. The fact that the whole system is completely fractured and that, you know, it is just the absolute Wild West. Oh, will it turn off maybe some fans? Right. Sure. But, like, how is it going to be the end of college sports? Someone explain to me how this is actually the end of college sports. Like, it's always been semi-pro.
Yeah.
It's just been mislabeled.
Yeah, this is just the light being shown on.
Of amateurism was just been bullshit forever. And people are like, well, now the agents are in charge and the boosters are in charge. Who do you think was in charge of high-level college football for the last, I don't know, 25, 30, 40 years?
Well, like, here's what I would say.
So, okay, everything is now just on the surface. We can stop acting. And yeah, it's going to be really messy, and a lot of people are going to feel really, really uncomfortable.
I think,
and that's their problem. And if they don't want to be part of it, then they're not going to be part of it. And if there's coaches, the amount of like, oh my god, this is going to run off good coaches. Yeah, it's going to run off some people who would be classified as air quotes good coaches. But if you can't adapt, like, really good coaches are going to adapt.
Well.
And that's going to be the way it is. And if we lose some good coaches, so be it. But, like, look, the NCAA had a chance to adapt in the build-up to this. A lot of people chose not to. It absolutely ended up just being a light or a match into
in the
gasoline.
Dry forest, yeah.
Right. And the biggest, you know, the fact, the two biggest things at play here are, A, the lack of preparation. Right. The lack of any regulations going into it, and just they kicked the can so far down the road trying to fight it instead of realizing it what was inevitable, that then by the time it had to be enacted, everyone was stuck there with something in their hand. Let's say that. And then the other major component of it is that it was the combination of NIL getting through the door and the transfer portal getting through the door. And immediate eligibility, one-time transfer rule, all happening at the same time.
Right. All at the same time.
So those two factors combined with the other thing, and that's where we are.
You got a lot going on.
Sorry. Yeah, I feel bad for people who don't know what the hell's going on. That sucks, but, like, it's just going to have to be really weird here for a few years until everyone gets their hands around it. And then it will proceed on.
And that's what I was just going to say.
In one way, shape, or form.
I was just going to ask you that. Like, I think, you know, the panic... Well, I understand it in a lot of ways. I was just going to ask you, like, I think it's a little premature. I think the full-on panic about this is going to ruin this, or this is going to destroy that, or this is the end of this, or whatever we keep talking about or we keep hearing is like, you know, we don't even know really what all this is going to look like. We don't even know where all this is going to go or how this is going to shake out. I guess the thing I would ask you, though, as I think my thing might be frozen here, but I'm going to keep talking because I might not be. The thing I'm going to ask you, though, is the biggest thing you've heard from coaches.
Yeah, I'm catching bits and pieces.
You're with me. Okay. Okay, so we had internet issues. I had internet issues on that one, but we're back.
It is nice to be on the other end of that. Usually it's me, and I'm just sitting here just shaking my head like, Jesus. How about some goddamn professionalism?
The squirrels have been chewing on my internet lines. That's what I'm blaming it on. Okay?
Blaming the squirrels.
Again, we're fighting them in the spring. It's another year here in Ann Arbor. But anyway, the thing I was going to ask you before we got cut off is you mentioned, you know, with all this, because I just said, you know, I think it's a bit premature for a lot of the panic. I can understand the panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you just mentioned earlier, like, I'm not taking calls from coaches at this point unless I know it's drastic because I'm not going to listen to it anymore. What is maybe the theme that you're hearing of any that is like the biggest, like, I can't believe this is, you know, what the hell are we going to do?
Sure. The theme is simple. It's confusion. Mm-hmm. It's that nobody is exactly sure what you can do, what you can't do, what other schools are doing. Right. how they're doing it, what's being offered, what's, you know, like, there's this, it went from everyone kind of knew who was shady, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of knew how deals got done and so on and so forth. But now there's like a total lack of clarity on how, like, how to even proceed on things.
Right. Yeah.
Like, really. I mean, you've got individual coaches meeting with NIL lawyers trying to understand what is going on. And like, the schools are trying to educate, but I feel like in sometimes like your own compliance office doesn't really know what's going on.
Right.
You know? So, and at the, you know, at the high major levels, you've got the coaches are complaining about, they see this thing at Miami and they're like, what the fuck? What is going on here? Like, what is this?
The guy demanding a raise.
And then right. And at the mid-major level, you've got coaches who are just like, well, I don't even know how to build a team. I have no idea what I'm doing at this point.
Right.
Like, how to get players, how to keep players. You feel like you're re-recruiting every day. And that's just an impossible way to proceed. And it's like this total reordering of the reality of what the job is. Like,
oh, yeah.
Nobody set out into this profession to work kind of within these confines.
It is completely different.
Or lack of confines, I should say.
Right.
And so, like, when you didn't envision the job being this, and now it is it, well, there's just mass confusion.
Yeah.
And there's like, how do you build a team?
Right. Well, like, I think the mid-major really, teams are really the ones where you're like, I don't know what to tell you.
That's really at the root of a lot of it, where, you know, every coach wants to have a team.
Right.
And actually be able to work with players. And the dynamics have kind of changed, where every player is, how do you promote team atmospheres when everything has just transformed so dramatically and drastically toward the individual and getting yours, you know, and like, that's a hard deal.
Yeah.
And you and I are all for player compensation, right? And we want guys to be able to, and males and females,
all players,
there are opportunities across the board.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone should be able to get what is possible and what they deserve. So on and so forth. We are in agreement on that. It's the lack of a blueprint on how to actually do this, though, is just crippling toward some. And I talked about this on another podcast. Like, these coaches have gone from having their old recruiting schedules and your way of roster building, and you're looking 2-3 years out and think, well, that's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's over. And you've got coaches now trying to decide whether you even bother going to recruiting events. You know, do you even really need to go see high school players now? I don't know. How do you want to build your program? And how worth is it to recruit high school players? And how much is it worth spending that time where there's a chance they might just
bail out
transfer for the next biggest deal? You can build a great culture. You can have an opportunity for a player. The biggest point, I made this point with Dylan on Monday, is the biggest underlying issue is that the confluence of name, image, and likeness and instant eligibility in the transfer portal has essentially incentivized leaving or exploring
the market.
Where you can have a player who's
get a raise from your own school.
Yeah, a player who's in a great situation with a coaching staff that he or she likes at a school that he or she is comfortable at and that the mom and dad are comfortable with you being at, right?
Mm-hmm.
But everything that's happening right now, it's worth putting your name in the portal to see what is out there.
That's right. Just like it's worth
going up.
Just like it's worth James Franklin pretending that USC wants to hire
him
every year. And
absolutely.
I get it. But at the same time, the mid-major basketball coaches and you know, some of the, not just basketball, but, you know, the lower level those are the ones that you really, I think, at this point, it's like, man.
Well,
I don't
know. There's 2 points. There's two sides here, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, because there's two conversations to have.
Oh, there's a lot of conversations that are like running alongside.
On one side, there is this idea of, okay, like, what's fair to these schools that are trying to build teams and be successful on the court or on the football field or on the soccer pitch. I don't even know. Do they play on pitches? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, soccer, but, pitch.
So, like, one conversation is, okay, these teams that are trying to be teams and trying to be successful, right? And there are coaches whose careers are dependent on these things and,
yeah, right.
and schools that are investing tons of money into these teams. Like, that is reality. The other conversation, though, is, like, also, like, what is the healthiest environment for college athletes, too? And, like, you and I will agree, we both want every athlete to be able to get the money that they can. That they can earn. But at the same time, I would never say it is in anyone's best interest to go to 3 or 4 different colleges in a 4 or 5 year window. It's not best academic. I don't think, and I'm sure there have been people who have been successful and had good experiences doing that. But like, I think in the educational model.
Well, yeah.
And among other things, like it's best to go to a college that you want to go to and spend time there and be like part of a university.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And that's why, yeah, and I was just reading Hunter Dickinson's comments to 24/7, I think it was earlier, and I think he did a couple interviews, like you said, because he did one with Jeff Goodman as well. And his frustration there is warranted, but it also reminded me of like you just said it too, like there's this window of time right now that they're all in that's just chaos. And it reminds me a little bit of like the early days of like the internet, right? Like we were, you remember those days? You could do anything. No one cared. No one knew what was going on. It was chaos and people took advantage of it. And then eventually they paid for it, but it ended. This
what
is going to be
your
rocky.
AIM screen name?
I had a few. Okay. Like I had a few. But bottom line here, McFly was involved with several of them, if I remember right. I had a couple different iterations.
McFly?
McFly, yeah, from Back to the Future. But point being...
Mine was... Hold on.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Mine was the Mighty Quinn 01 because, you know...
Your graduation year, right?
Why wouldn't my high school graduation year?
Yeah, right.
Yes. But of course, my screen name was a nod to a Manfred Mann song that was covered by Bob Dylan, like any other normal,
totally normal,
14-year-old would make. What a fucking loser! But okay, go ahead, Nick. Go ahead.
Anyway, I think it's like it just reminds me of like, you know, the time in between the time when we, you know, some brand new thing is introduced to a space that just implodes everything.
Yeah,
and starts everything brand new. And the time when everyone has to gather themselves is that chaos time. And that's why I think you have seen a lot of schools who identify differently from other schools struggle with this in other ways than others. And I'm sorry, maybe this is a northern podcast and people down south are going to get mad at me, but like, people in Alabama who run Alabama view college football and the role of college football within the whatever at University of Alabama very differently than the people who at University of Michigan view the role of college football within the confines of whatever University of Michigan. Doesn't mean that they don't value the same, because I would argue that they do. They just have different they have different visions of what football should be. And that's why a place like Alabama, like to Hunter's point, is ready to offer you $1 million, because I don't care what the NCAA says. When they regulate us, we'll deal with it then. But right now, they're not. Here's $1 million. Michigan is just, it's not going to be a conversation that they're going to be comfortable having. And whether or not you agree with that or not is a different avenue that now I would argue, to Hunter Dickinson's point, recruits are going to have to explore. You're going to have to explore the institution you are signing up to play at. What are their, what do they stand for? What do they not stand for? What are, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to have to be part of the discussion that a lot of these kids, I don't even think they're ready to even acknowledge that that's on the table, but it will be in time, you know? And I think that that's the point that he said, you know, ultimately you want to pick the school that fits you best, but you also don't want to go, you don't want to lose out on $1 million, you know? Jesus. Right. I mean, you don't want to just screw yourself out of generational money. So it's a horrible whatever time, and it sucks, but it's like you got to also kind of keep your head on a swivel and figure it out until people can kind of smooth the road. But the real rub here is like no one has any faith in the NCAA, and it's like, when is that ever going to happen?
Sure.
Right? So, yeah.
But and like, it's unfortunate for the people, like you said, that have to deal with it right now, but like sometimes, you know, chaos has to initiate change.
Yeah, it happens.
And, right. All this change came, now it's chaos, and okay, well, all now hands are forced now. You're going to have to figure it out because this isn't sustainable, what's happening right now.
Right.
So
part of, and it
the,
won't be.
Part of the other problems here is, part of the other problem here is, okay, in what world are they going to be able to find any degree of regulation? When, to your point, different parties look at this in different ways.
The same as recruiting.
Because Michigan and Alabama and Cal and USC, right? And
Ohio State,
all these
Ohio.
Different types of schools, all play on supposedly, but on the same field, and more importantly, for the same championship,
for the same ring,
They're all playing for the same thing, but they all view these things differently,
right?
So how do all those parties get to one table and come up with, okay, this is what it looks like? I don't know if that happens. And meanwhile, you got Mark Emmert being like, well, my term is wrapped up. I've done a hell of a job. See you later. Thank you for paying me whatever God-forsaken money. Right?
Thoughts and prayers,
and so
Mark
they're going to come up with this committee and that committee and Condi Rice. And all who knows,
the Clintons,
you know, is going to be in the room.
The Clintons.
But exactly. In some way, shape, or form, though, these presidents need to, like, get on some kind of same page and be like, this is ridiculous.
The presidents need to cede control. The presidents need to cede control of decision-making within major college athletics. And what really...
First thing that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Football needs to get the hell out of
That's where I was going. Okay? The presidents need to cede control of the whole thing. The whole thing. And it needs to go to, as people have talked about, they called it a czar or whatever. It needs to go to a someone like an Adam Silver or a Roger Goodell. Your thoughts of these people are irrelevant. It's like that person has to be... You have to have someone there. The final answer. This person is the, and it's not a spineless, you know, Mark Emmert. So that's number one. And then number two is that there's going to have to be some very difficult conversations, very difficult, honest conversations with every institution in the country about What are you realistically able to do in this space, and what can't you do in this space? And so football, I would argue, yes, has to separate, but I would also argue, Brendan, that like some of these schools, and I don't know how it's going to go, but you can't, like you just said it, you can't keep lying like this and pretending that you're in the same boat as, you know, that Georgia State and Georgia are playing the same sport. It's just right. Like, that's not a thing, you know? So
right.
There's going to have to be some harder conversations probably, and maybe that causes some more chaos, as everyone's always worried about. And this is why, and it will, but that's fine. As long as you've got smart people guiding you through the chaos, you know, you don't feel it as much. You just don't. You roll the punches and you go through it.
But they're going to have to break away football and deal with, at the same time, the Title IX implications that will come with something like that. And there's going to be all kinds of legal maneuvering to still have equity.
Yeah.
While football operates essentially independently of the NCAA, right?
I would,
and then within the NCAA, there needs to be a separate czar and some, like a real president who has actual power and is not just some, you know, stooge out in front of things while all these asshole presidents are the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain not being responsible for anything and just acting like, oh, it's the NCAA says, like, right. You're the NCAA.
No, none of that anymore. You know? Yeah.
This is.
Yeah, that's what I've said for years. It can't continue.
Politicians complaining about federal government.
Right.
You're like, wait, you're the federal government.
So, like, this is why, this is one of the main, I'm telling you, this is inside baseball, but this is one of the main reasons why I don't cover college athletics on a day-to-day basis anymore, because it turned into Washington, D.C. It was like, that's what it's turned into over the last 3 or 4 years. Period. Look at the stories that come out every day, like, lawmakers say, what in the hell is going on? Like, I mean, it all needs to go away. It all needs to get blown up and changed. And started new. I mean, it's like, when you say that, it scares people, and I understand that, but like, it's not, I think at the end of the day, you can find a place for just about everybody here. It's just not going to look the same. But I think everybody can find sort of something in a role once it settles out. It's just going to take a long time. And as we know, these are all idealistic viewpoints, because it's never going to work this way, and it'll be brutal for a long, long time before everybody can feel a little more content. And that's the real... If you're coaching basketball at Western Michigan, like, it's going to be a tough road for 10 years, maybe, you know? I don't know. It could be really hard, you know, for those levels. And that's the guy and the gal that I feel bad for, you know, in the coaching ranks, I guess, is the people who are running, you know, the have-not, so to speak, programs that are trying. And, like, what do you do? Right. What do you do? So...
I do wonder if at that level, like, and... Speaking specifically to basketball and also to non-revenue
to anything,
sports,
really. Yeah.
Anything that's not football, basically. Right. Like, there is a chance for...
I love the contempt in your voice
like
when you say football.
Oh, my God. It's the worst.
When you just say the word football.
but for men's and women's basketball and your borderline revenue sports and your non-revenue sports, like... There is an opportunity here for, like, kind of revamping in a good way and reimagining what this looks like.
I agree.
In a good way, because when you look at, like, some of the spending in basketball, like, on recruiting, you know, you have five members of the staff spending 8 weeks of summer going to these nonsense recruiting events where it's like, you know, and Western, to your point, like... They've got their whole staff out going there, and I'm sure they see a kid here and a kid there.
But
you're just like, what the hell use of spending is this? You know, like, there are ways that we can have positive change come from this, and like better use of money for these athletic departments, and kind of, you know, once we have some level of regulation on player movement and stuff like that. Like, okay, then you'll be able to re-explore how you roster build and how you build teams and what you look like 2, 3, 4 years in advance. But, you know, until then, it's just going to be a total shit show. Like,
now,
St. Joe's somehow, like, their best freshman last year, they kept him.
Did they?
Like, he made it. Like, the portal deadline came, and like, I checked it. I'm like, wait, he's still on the roster? Like, how did that happen, you know? Because they don't have any money.
Yeah,
right. They're not putting together NIL deals.
You were opening the billfold. You were opening up the wallet. Yeah. Like, what do I got to do? What do we need here, guys? Jesus, we can't take any more losing.
Like, what a great job by this. Like, you're at the point where you're congratulating members of a staff for not keeping losing a guy, yeah. player.
Well,
for keeping a guy who is happy. You know,
this is like, a good segue. This is a good segue as the booster Brendan Quinn reminded me of the collective conversation that we hear across the board as the St. Joe's collective would have consisted of you, and that's about it. Maybe your dad, your brother, like that's about it.
And none of us have any money.
Right, but like, so like, I mean, it seems the big thing, you know, Ross Dellinger, and I'm sure some others have reported this too, I don't want to short anybody, mm-hmm. but you know, that the big thing here is that the big piece of regulation that seems to be coming immediately maybe would be going after yes. the collectives, which is the big yes. piece of like, okay. And I love who deemed them. I want to know who called them collectives. Where'd that start? Who started that term? Where I come from, brother, those are called cartels. Okay. Where I come from, yes. they're not called collectives. Anyway, moving on. What are you hearing about the collectives? This, that, and the other. And like, this is a whole new world that, and this is the thing that people back in the, around the signing period of college football were chirping up about, because all these, like A&M was ready to go. They had their collective ready to go. They had all this stuff ready to go. That's when Jimbo made the yes. comment about like on the signing thing, people just didn't talk about it back in the day, you know, or whatever. And then he got all mad after the fact and blah, blah, blah. But like, what are you hearing about all the collectives? How's it impacting basketball? Does Michigan have a collective? I don't even know at this point.
I have no idea. I mean, one of the funniest things was like, what did people think was going to happen?
I don't like, know. There was like, I don't know.
There was like some level of like delusion that like NIL was going to like lead to like a player like Hunter Dickinson just like hopping, like pulling out the yellow pages and looking yeah. up like the local car dealership and being like,
no,
hey, yeah. Mr. Lawson, let's how about go. I, you know, do some
yeah.
like, no, it immediately created its own basic economy that
yes.
didn't exist before, where every agent is just trapezing into the situation. Yeah. They're
where
ready
the hustlers
to get as
know
many
what they're doing.
Possible.
Yeah. And they've been ready.
And then
they've been ready.
And then the schools that are ready to go.
Right.
You know, they already had their shit lined up.
And that's the frustration from fans.
We're not going to be waiting for the right. athletes to come to us
exactly.
looking for NIL. We are going to the athletes and we are making
yep.
the offers, which is just insane because I'll tell you what, if I'm a great coach, I'm like, this is great. I don't even have to fucking
exactly.
recruit anymore. I'm just going to, you know, these...
Yes,
my
bring me players.
Fortune 500 company
right.
is just going to go get me a running back and a couple of wide receivers. I'm ready to party.
I love it.
Great.
I mean, in some ways,
yeah.
and it needs to be.
I love it.
It
look,
needs
to you.
Now. It needs to be regulated. I will agree. It can't be so out of control because the cartel thing always pops in my mind, and I shouldn't go all the way because there's a lot of good people that are good, yeah, have good intentions with all this. So, but at this end of the day, it does need to be regulated because there are a lot of people also involved with this that don't have good intentions, that are using money that comes from I don't know where, you don't know where, and I don't want to know where at the end of the day, right? Like, that's happening. And it, for us to just act like that's not happening in places would be, you know, just as foolish as it was for us to act like nobody was paying recruits when that was illegal. So, you know, it's a complicated, like, web here across the board, and I think that at the end of the day, the collectives, I think, are going to stay, right? I would assume. I think that's going to be a thing, though,
sure.
that you're going to want, because that's something where I think a lot of the Jimbo frustration was like you just said, what did you think was going to happen? What did you think we were going to do? Just sit here, like, and just not make everything we were already doing official under the rules and regulations, because we're already five steps ahead of you. And that's where the fan mm-hmm. frustration comes in, because the hustlers and the people that are ready in that world that have connections that get around, and you know what I'm talking about, that make connections, that know people that can do this, that, and the other, they were ready to go. And so when it was like, this is now technically legal, okay, let's go. And you had 15 schools that mm-hmm. were out in front, and you'll never be able to catch them. Same as the internet back in the day, right? And it's like, you got to get there first. I think that was the whole race, but it can't be so panicked that we let panic sort of drive the conversation about what regulations happen, is what I would say.
Well, and you had some places that like basically already had these things.
Exactly. They were ready to go. In the shadow world.
Not ready to go as in
they're
like...
They're already going. Yeah.
They're waiting for the ribbon cutting ceremony to go give out their money. Like they were already, giving it out.
Yeah, right.
And now it was just like...
Now it's on the books. Okay, well, yeah, right. That's it. It's on the books. Yeah.
This thing's street legal.
Taxable income.
That car out front, no one's even going to raise an eye.
All the better. Yeah. I mean, like that's... You know,
like next year, that's going to be one of the funny things. I want to see that. I remember going into that that parking lot at outside Schembechler back when I actually covered the team, you know, and those cars, it would just look like a regular parking lot.
That is a good point.
I might just swing through there just for shits and gigs next year just to see this now looks like, you know, Allen Park.
I saw suddenly, picture
where all these cars were like, look at this. Okay. All right. So things are a little different.
It's on Instagram or something of Blake Corum, the Michigan running back, who has the shades. And he had like a Viper or something parked outside the stadium that he was standing next to. And I was like, holy shit, look at this. Like, and that's the stuff right there where it's like, when it all settles, and it will, how long, we'll see. But that's the part that's cool, right? Where we see all these guys finally get, you know, the opportunity to sort of be paid.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Okay, we're back after my latest internet lapse, and I was talking about... the cool parts of NIL, which is we see these cars with the cars in the parking lot, Blake Corum's, of course. Mm-hmm. And I think there are probably going to be others that we see popping up across the way. Do you have any other thoughts on how this is playing out nationally, my man? Basketball seems to be in it right now. Like, football, I think, has gone through it, and it's still in it, too. But, like, it just had an earlier, maybe, experience with it. But any other national thoughts?
Yeah, I mean,
thoughts?
There's kind of vibes of the return from COVID little bit when football kind of
got
powered
started
through
it,
and just did its thing and whatever, and then acted like it didn't even happen and whatever. And then basketball season tried to play out and it was just a complete shit show. You know, it does kind of feel like that.
Right. Yeah.
and yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like they on the men's basketball side, most coaches still understand the value of like you need to build a team,
right,
man? Like football is different. You can bring in transfers because a roster's so big.
Yeah, you have more ways to fix.
You're
it,
used to that level of turnover, but like every basketball coach knows, if you're bringing in 10 new players, like your odds of sustaining that, it's just not.
Yeah.
It is not conducive to the product. And you're going to see those, like, everyone knows that you still want to build your team. And yeah, you can use the portal to your advantage to plug a hole, whether you have one of your own players transfer or have a player unexpectedly develop quickly and go pro or whatever may happen that you need to fill a spot. You know, we got to find a marksman three-point shooter. We gotta get an extra big or we need a lead guard, whatever it may be. Like, you can still fill a spot and make it work. But they are all juggling this dynamic of, if you're going to bring in a player, that player's going to need a deal, and now you're going to have the rest of your roster sitting there saying, what the hell is that about?
patience, I think, is going to be the thing that wins this, because this is going to, college basketball is going to turn into college hockey in terms mm-hmm. of in terms of how you build a team. And when you watch, you know, for those out there that watch college hockey, the best college hockey teams, I'm not sure if it's changed in recent years, but, you know, and there was a good long stretch there where the best college hockey teams were those like old ass teams that, you know, what was the one team that I can't remember their name now. They were somewhere from the Northeast, but they had all the Quinnipiac, I think it was mm-hmm. playing really well. But yeah, they had all these like 25-year-olds that were like, you know, guys that had just been through the system, you know, minor league system, whatever. Because, I mean, other things are going to change, and it's going to be, you know, where we saw in college hockey where if you were just going out and picking the best five players, you were not going to have a very good team. You maybe, but it was going to be a battle. You were going against grown-ass men, you know, and like there's going to be some changes, I think, that can be advocated for that people haven't really realized yet. And I would caution and say that patience should win, and that's why you need a czar or someone in charge. Like, because the the knee-jerk reaction crowd can't be the crowd that dictates where this goes. The crowd that just runs out immediately and says, we're paying this kid $20 million of unmarked bills, can't be the crowd that dictates where all this ends. So patience has to win this. And, you know, and that's why I always go back to, like, the schools have to find a way to concede power and transition it responsibly to something or someone that is actually A, educated enough to do it, and B, interested enough to do it, which are two things that the presidents, frankly, are not. So, you know, when and how that happens, now that Mark Embert's gone, I wonder if that's maybe, you know, why does he need a year and a half to leave? I don't know. But, you know, now that he's leaving, maybe there's chances for that. I don't know. But I mean, I say that about the presidents. You know, in my own head, my next thought is like, yeah, but that's never going to happen. So, like, I mean, they're never going to give it up. So, like, that's where it's like the confusion, and there are easy answers here, but it's like those don't seem realistic. You know what I mean? And that seems to probably be a frustration too for a lot of people, I would think.
Right. There just need to be some, like, in until there's a new president in place, and until you, like, there's still need that you got to find some kind of way to get some systems in place.
Right.
Of like, what do you do with,
right,
with your current rosters and things like that? Like, you know, if you're Michigan State, say Michigan State, like, they need a big man. They need another big.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to go after the best big in the portal, right? Well, that's going to take a real ass offer to get done.
Strong ass offer, Will Wade.
Strong ass offer. So you bring in that kid.
Yeah.
You make it happen. You get a deal in place, and a big man transfers in. Well, now I'm Malik Hall and I'm sitting there.
Right.
I'm saying, you know, there were times last year I was the best player on the team. I'm the third leading scorer on last year's team, whatever. Tyson Walker is saying, wait a second, I'm the starting point guard of the team that played in the NCAA tournament last year.
Right.
Why is this guy getting that? And like, you, and that's just an impossible, and like, I do feel bad for the coaches on that. Like,
yeah, well, that's,
what do you do? Yeah. You, as a coach, it's not your job to be divvying out contracts
and
among
I think
your,
that, yeah,
your players.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, great point. And I think that that's where the really sad part hits you for coaches, because the ones that care about it anyway, and there's a lot, the majority, I would say, do, because that true team, you know, you're never going to play for a team again, gentlemen, you know, like, that's over. That's
over.
But I would also say that most of those coaches that you would talk to, and you can still feel bad for them, they've known that this is... It was. 100%. It's been over. It's been over. And so you were just fighting a losing battle, and now it's time to adjust. But yes, to your point, the pure college athletics fan in all of us, and a lot of people don't know this yet, or it hasn't hit them. I think the average fan who just casually watches the sport, it'll hit them, but it won't hit them until they... Yeah, that's it. It's over. That's gone. The whole, like, you know, this kid came in here and... did his thing for a couple years and had a hell of a story and grinded it out and all these
things.
There
will still be some of them.
But it's not going to be like it used to be, you know? And it's just, it's not going to be something that you can even plan for. Those are going to be the special, you know, as opposed to it used to be, that's just what you did with everybody. And, you know, and those days are gone. And I think that there's a lot of frustration behind that of how did we let it get to there, you know? And I understand that too. Yeah, someone, you know, as two people who work in an industry that let things get awry many, many times. I can understand that, but I can also say that the only way forward is to figure out together how to get out of it. And like, they've got to find a way to get leadership at the top, right? And that just has to be all hands on deck for once. The whole country in college athletics, one time, all the coaches have to agree. Right. Get us someone in charge. I don't care who it is, you know?
The most underlying fear for me is that the chaos that is created, that's been created by this kind of that aforementioned confluence of these two just seismic changes hitting all at once.
Yeah.
Everyone is, you know, chasing these butterflies of how do we deal with this? 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 Where everyone in college basketball, what you really need to be focused on more than anything is the current construct, the actual entire construct of college basketball remaining what it is. Because our biggest fear, right, is the big boys taking their ball and leaving and going with football and saying, we're having our tournament. And then college basketball is
It's the same
thing. Irreparably changed. And it's not what I don't think anyone really wants.
No.
At the end of the day, right? Like,
absolutely not.
We all want to see changes to college basketball. But like, that's the thing. Like, the second you fuck with the NCAA tournament,
it's buddy, yeah.
You are going to lose people like the baseball strike back in 94, whatever year that was, where there were just people who were just like,
and they will never come back.
And baseball fell off the face of the earth after that.
Those people will never come back. You're 100%.
They'll never come back. I would probably give it a shot, whatever, but you know.
Yeah, but you're different.
I'm not interested in covering that.
I think that is well said. Someone like you saying something like that should be pretty and frankly, I just said it earlier, but that's true. A big part of the reason why, it's coach driven for me more than anything else, because it's like I got tired of hearing how you guys get everything you want and nobody else seems to get anything they want. Well, now that it's evened out and we could see it starting to even out, and suddenly the coaches wanted to complain, and I was just like, I can't do this. Like, I'm not going to be able to objectively stand here and listen to you complain about it. Like, so I can't cover this like this. And so I I'm just being honest. So I still write about football, but like that part of it for me is hard right now, because I really don't, it's hard to objectively, because I do feel bad for a lot of coaches, and there's a lot of them I don't feel bad for at all. And I'm like, you got everything you deserved. You've been taking advantage of the situation for forever. Mm-hmm. And a lot of coaches, you know exactly what I'm talking about with some of the cases and some of the sports. Like, you're the ones who made this, you turned this thing up to 11 when it didn't need to be. You cranked this thing into a world where we didn't need to go. And now look at you. And now look at what we're doing. So, and no one has any answers. And like, those are the people that I look at, and it's just like, well, you know what? Look at you.
And didn't blink when their contracts increased 100-fold in basically like a 15-year window.
Right.
Like, I mean, it's crazy when you go back and read stories from like the early 90s and they mention coaches' contracts. You're like, was this in the 1800s?
80K. Like, first college football coach I ever covered full time in 2007 was making $95,000. Division I, 1A, $95,000. He got a raise to like $500,000 in like a couple years in, and the whole school was about ready to be like, this is bullshit.
Sure.
Are you kidding me? 500,000. Sure. This was not that long ago. This was like,
yes, that's 30, not that long 14 ago.
14 years ago, maybe. So yeah.
So, and like
$95,000.
It was fascinating.
Holy shit.
Final Four this year, somebody asked Jay Wright about NIL, and it was a great question. It's bothering me that I can't remember who asked it, so I apologize. But they asked, does NIL make it easier for you to square what you make
a
year?
Yeah, I saw that question.
It was such a good question. And Jay, I mean,
he a good answer too.
He put it all out.
Fascinating.
He was like, it really weighed on me in recent years, like this outrageous disparity that existed where, like, yeah, I'm like, Jay's making like fucking $8 million a year. Like, we don't know the exact number because he's at a private school, but like, he's a top five coach.
Right.
He's making insane money.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's got players who just, you can't legally give them anything.
Right.
You know? And yeah, like the good ones.
And I feel he is like, a weird example because, yeah, exactly.
And the thing is that there's our other coaches who that never even fazed them. Mm-mm. I mean, it just never, they're like, of course.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm the coach. I've worked my way up the ladder and this is what I get.
This is the big
and
job. They're
just players.
Yeah.
And you're just like, do you hear yourself?
I got the big job and the big house and the big street and the big block and the big this. And it's a conversation that transcends sports and goes into some things that, frankly, are probably go out of bounds of this podcast.
Oh, baby. But like, I will say, I mean, that people know the way that we feel about certain things.
Right, yeah.
The way that the shut up and dribble crowd has to digest all of this is...
Kentucky's having a time,
right? Absolute chef's kiss.
Like the cats...
Watching
having a hard
some
time.
Of the mental gymnastics from some...
yeah, and it's like, I mean, I because, you know... Like, I have family in Ohio, obviously, like, a bunch. And, you know, and friends and people that we go see. And I would always talk, and they're all Ohio State fans. And you would talk to them and be like, guys. And I talked to them over the last, like, several years and be like, this is changing. This is not going to be what you think, what you, and, you know, and some of the smarter ones that got it would always be like, yeah, you're right. I can see it. And every time you'd see them again, they're like, yeah, I don't know how much I like this. You know, I mean, maybe I could in time. But I mean, you're right. It's like, it's a very delicate time. You want to say patience should win, but it's also like, that's kind of foolish to just suggest that's how it's going to go.
I mean,
I don't know.
Like, to my point, and I know you feel the same way, and it's something that, like, I think listeners will maybe, I don't know, this is kind of like pulling back curtain a little bit, but like, I struggled with.
Oh, that. Sure.
You know, writing about these guys.
Oh, God, asking, yeah, these, we make money
asking
off
these
of it.
Guys to like, tell me, yeah, right. You know, the deepest parts of their stories.
They're,
you know,
like,
speaking with,
yeah,
Caris LeVert to tell me about finding his father on the floor on Easter morning. And I'm writing this story for MLive, and MLive's getting all of its clicks. I'm making a salary off of doing this. And Caris LeVert gets shit.
Nothing.
Right?
Yeah.
And is an unpaid athlete who can't even, you know, earn. And I'm like, I love college basketball, but this is not right. I was making a full salary on just writing about.
You just have to tell yourself
unpaid
that,
athletes.
Yeah, like, well, it's going to help his draft profile or something.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you jump through all the hoops to get there and be okay with it. And it's, right. You just kind of play with that. There's just cognitive dissonance and all this stuff that goes into doing it, and yeah, you know, I'm promoting the game, I'm doing, it's all bullshit, right? Like, that is, it is bothersome. And it really grinds my gears, I'll say, to when you hear some people, whether they're, you know, a commentator on ESPN or a commentator on this or a media personality or a whatever, pushing back on some of this.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm like, where do you get off, man? Like, we're all, everyone's profiting off of this.
Yeah.
So now we're on a completely different tangent.
Well, at the end of the day, I think I would just say this, that I want, because like, and you bring up a great point about like our role sometimes in this. And it's like, I look at it, I've come to look at it with football specifically over my life is like, football has given me the game of football. The sport, whatever, has given me an awful lot. And I would say the same for you with hoops. Like, I mean, because you've taken it serious and you've respected it and so much of what we both do, I think, is in effort to honor the game, you know, promote the game, promote the good stuff in the game and all of that. And the hard part for people like us, I think, and coaches that are obviously in the same capacity that are trying to give back is like you want everyone that is benefiting from the game to really benefit as much as they can. You don't want people to be held back. You don't want people to feel like they're not getting the maximum amount out of it. But you also don't want it to be corrupted to where people are just using it for the sake of whatever. Because there's so much more, and that's, you know, the stories that we write and everything else. I'll often tell those tales, but like, there's so much more about these sports and just being in a team setting and all this stuff that gets lost when you start bringing in money like this. And
yeah.
That ultimately is at the core of all of the conversation, and that will change. But it's like, I just, at the end of the day, I always go back to that. It's like, for me with football specifically, it's like this, my whole, I would have nothing the way I am now without football. So that's how I look at my job. It's like, I'm trying to write to expand and honor the game of football. And I know that's why sometimes I can get people to call me back because they see how I write. Right. And that's how, those are the people I think about. Those are the people that I worry about. And it's like, I would just always say, like, those are the good ones that I think at the end of the day, if you listen to them, you'll find your way through this. It's just going to be really choppy and hard, but you know, we'll see. But yeah.
And when it comes to the college sports model,
and there's like a lot of people like that out there. I would say that
for sure. When it comes to the college sport model, you know, the real hope here is that 5-10 years from now, we are looking back on this and being like, oh, that was the time where everything, it was threadbare.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's stop acting, pull down all the curtains. Right.
Right.
Let's just bring everything right to the surface. Right. There is money being funneled all over the place.
Yeah.
Put it out there. Let everyone know exactly how these things are getting done. There's no reason to act this whole circus, this hidden circus operates underneath everything. Like, fuck all that. Bring it all up, right? Get it on paper.
Yeah.
Unmask people.
It. Yeah.
You know, like, and it's going to be really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough decade.
But, you know, there's a chance that, you know, this thing comes on the other side. And I think it's probably not a great chance, but there's a chance it comes out on the other side as a markedly better product.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That exists,
yeah,
like in reality.
Yeah. You know? That's the thing where it's like, it's there. You can get there, but will people agree enough? Is the ultimate question. And usually we know the answer to that is no, but, that's all we can solve for today, I think. I got to go fix my internet because, you know, obviously this is falling apart. But you got anything else you want to chat about today before we ride
on?
No,
I'm good.
Ride on out. Hey, by the way, if you saw my tweet out there, everyone, about the idea, the podcast ideas summertime.
Yeah.
If you have any ideas for long form dive shows or whatever, and some of you do. There was like 70 ideas in there.
The responses were great. You guys are
so
awesome.
If you got any more, throw them in there and we'll check them out and we'll mull that over the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Because we need to kind of, anyone who follows this pod, follows either of us on, you know, the shit we write.
Yeah.
It's fairly clear, right? Our jobs are
definitely
molding
changed.
And transitioning into different things. We, you know, in a perfect world, we still find a way to do this. Nick and I, you know, we obviously enjoy each other and enjoy doing this. But yeah, I mean, we can't act like we're beat writers and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just, it's going to need to kind of get tweaked. So if we can find these like
we'll
single topic kind of storytelling, bullshitting things, that could be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what this needs to kind of evolve.
Yeah. And I would
into.
Say I wouldn't, and I was happy to see people sort of went beyond the Michigan State boundary.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that you can't. I mean, like, you know, that I saw a lot of great Michigan State topics in there too. That would be fun. But like, I thought it was cool. Yeah. So, I mean, anything really, I would say around maybe like regional somewhere around here, that's important to you who listens to this show. I think other people who listen to this show would like it. So yeah, I think that's a good idea.
There were no Big Five suggestions. I was offended, but that's okay.
Stop planting seeds. Stop planting suggestions. Currently, George Sipple's 1983 Michigan Panthers is leading the
definitely
charge.
Leading the pack. Right.
Okay, so
I'm ready to bust out a six pack one night and read everything that I can find about
written.
The 83 Michigan Panthers, and then jump on a pod the next day with you and just be like, this was awesome, you know? So,
that sounds fun.
We appreciate everyone listening. We appreciate all the support and you guys being wanting to interact and all that stuff. It's great.
Absolutely.
That's the reason we keep doing this thing. So subscribe to The Athletic. I don't know. It's like a dollar or something. Do that. That's a great deal. So, and read all of Nick's old draft coverage. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Him and Chris Burke, for all you Lions fans, are just absolutely required reading in my budding Lions fandom. You know, they're
still
really,
growing,
keeping me up to date. I was listening to the
one
pod.
Bride. There you
guys.
Go. Yeah.
I was listening to your draft pods, man. I was locked in.
ready to go.
You all should be too. And then be sure to tip your bartenders and servers. I seen hot towns on my